Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme this morning is the heart and the mouth. The heart and the mouth. The Pharisees in the verses before our text have blasphemed Christ and said that he cast out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub or Satan. And our Lord Jesus warns them against the sin that is never forgiven. That is, that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, which when committed makes manifest that that individual will, in the purpose of God, never be brought to repentance and to faith and to forgiveness of sins in Christ, but will undoubtedly continue in darkness until they are damned forever. And we saw that that sin which some of the reprobate commit is a hating of the truth, even though the Holy Spirit has given understanding of the truth and convinced of the truthfulness of the truth. So it is when God, by his Spirit, convinces someone that the gospel is true, causes them to understand the gospel way of salvation, but does not renew the heart and will so that they still hate that which they understand and know to be the truth of God. But this leads more generally to the question of the heart expressing itself in speech, because that's what was happening in this place. First of all then, the tree and the fruit. The tree and the fruit. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Our Lord Jesus had done good because his heart was good, perfectly good, pure and holy. And this ought to have been obvious, and it ought to have put beyond contradiction that he was none other than the Christ of God. But they, the Pharisees, on the other hand, spoke evil of him because they were evil in their hearts. The tree is known by his fruit. And the fruit of their speech against him and accusing him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, that fruit declared that their hearts were wicked. And this principle of the tree being known by its fruits, that is, the state of the heart displaying itself by outward action, is true for all of us. So verse 30 comes before us. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Are you for Christ and his gospel? Or do you oppose it or are indifferent to its advance because your heart is unchanged and you are not born again of the Spirit of God? Do you react against this gospel? Do you react against being told that you need Christ to deliver you from the wrath of God and the hell that your sins justly deserve? If so, it is because your heart is evil and unchanged by the Spirit of God, and ye must be born again, or ye shall not see the kingdom of God. The old nature, the unrenewed heart, reacts against the gospel, and what is in your heart comes out perhaps in the occasional remark against the gospel. And this is because this fruit of the occasional remark against the truth of the gospel is because the tree is corrupt, the heart is wicked and unchanged by the Spirit of God. And then secondly, words are the overflow of the heart. Words are the overflow of the heart. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Here Christ exposes the facade of righteousness of these men, these religious men, these men who did many things. He calls them a generation of vipers, the offspring of vipers, those snakes that can so easily conceal and camouflage themselves so well, and yet at times they suddenly burst into action and their poisonous viciousness and their deadliness becomes apparent. So it was with these men. Ordinarily they looked very good, and yet when confronted with gospel truth by the Savior himself, their true nature becomes apparent, and they speak against him, and they call him one in league with Beelzebub. Is it so with you? Ordinarily, you look quite all right. You profess to be a Christian. You come to church. But the love of Christ is not in you. And when you hear the gospel preached, you turn away from it in disgust. So much so that perhaps you even let that slip out into words. Perhaps only to those close to you. Perhaps in the car on the way home, you give some expression to your resentment of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is in your heart comes out. There's a little bit of overflow into the lips. But beneath in the heart, there is an unrenewed heart boiling up with resentment against the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the treasure of the heart comes out. That's what verse 35 is saying. Or in verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. That word abundance, it means overflowing. You see, the words, when what is within reaches a certain point, it overflows into speech. And then verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure. That word treasure is literally thesaurus. The treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. That word treasure, thesaurus, it's the same word that's used in Matthew 2:11. You remember the wise men when they came after the birth of the Lord Jesus, as to his human nature, they came to him, they did homage to him, and they brought treasure, and that's the word, and they opened up their treasures, and they offered gold and frankincense and myrrh. What happens when the treasure chest of your heart is opened? What comes out into words? Are the words that come out like the gold, frankincense, and myrrh of devotion to Christ? Is the treasure God-honoring speech? Or is it the evil treasure of an unrenewed heart? An unrepentant heart set against the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you still got a gospel rejecting heart? And so a heart that shows itself in speech. A heart that is concerned not to get in trouble by your words, but otherwise not concerned about honoring God with your speech. The abundance, the overflow, the excess. What spills out? It's a sample of what's below. Our words are a sample of what's inside. Just a sample. But a sample nonetheless. Is Christ in the overflowing of your heart? Christ is in your heart. Have you nothing to say of him? Psalm 45, my heart is inditing a good matter. Inditing, that word, it's bubbling up, overflowing a good matter. I speak the things concerning the King. Tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Well, is it? Psalm 71, we were singing, filled let my mouth be with thy praise and honor all day long. If Christ is in your heart by faith, must he not appear in the overflow of speech? Do you speak well of him? It's true in this province, as elsewhere, there are those who talk the talk a great deal for a while and then make shipwreck. They talk much, and then it proves to be just a smoke. But should real Christians be silent? If Christ is in our hearts, and we love him, must we not speak of him? And what else is in the treasure of your heart? If we rummage around there, is love to the brethren there, so that it comes out speaking well of them? Is that there? Is a desire for holiness there, so that you will speak well of those who will even rebuke you for your sins because you desire holiness? And if they are seeking to help you, and to point out your sins, you're thankful to God for them. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be as precious oil upon my head. Is there a heart established in grace that comes out in speech that does good? Or is there gospel resentment there that shows itself in speech? Is there self-righteousness there, as with these Pharisees? Self-righteousness that lay, as it were, calm until it was challenged by the truth as it is in Jesus. And out it came. He casts out devils by the prince of devils. Is there a self-righteousness in your heart that shows itself like a Pharisee in the parable, in the sense of superiority to others. I'm not like this man. Is there self-worship there? Self-worship, self-preservation, that shows itself even in lies if necessary, to preserve yourself, your standing. We've often remarked on how many pride themselves on speaking their mind. But that's only a virtue if what's in the mind is good. What if the mind is rotten? These Pharisees spoke their mind, and it was exceedingly wicked. So don't pride yourself on speaking your mind. Rather give attention to the heart, and then what you speak will be good. The words we speak are only a sample. Only a sample. Thirdly, the final account. The final account. Verse 36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, every careless word. Since you learned to talk, since you were an infant, and you began to babble and then to make words, all those words, they're all before God. Thousands of them, millions of them. In the multitude of words, there wonders not sin. He that formed the ear, shall he not hear? God has heard everything we've ever said. Everything, even the secret whispers, the malicious little asides, he's heard them all. Luke 12:3, therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. That little drop of poison, God hears, he remembers. The smooth half-truth is recorded. Recorded in the books that will be opened before the great white throne of God. Oh, what hope is there for any of us except in Christ? Our words, just the tip of the iceberg, but our words, all of them, known to God, the sinfulness of them, known to God. And if they're but the overflowing, if they're but the sample, what about all that's beneath the surface in the heart? And the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Our thoughts, he knows them afar off. How much we need Christ the Savior. What a fool you are if you think you can get to heaven without him. Our very words and all the weight of thought behind all those words is known to God. And it'll all be brought out in the day of judgment. How we need Christ and his redeeming work as the ground of acceptance before God. How we need to depend upon him to be seeking acceptance on the basis that he was without sin and he bore the guilt of sin. He kept God's law even in his words and in his thoughts, and yet he bore the guilt of the transgression of God's law on behalf of guilty sinners. Our only hope is in him. For any one of us, our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never get to heaven and you'll never be accepted before God on any other ground. What will you do if you appear before God in judgment without the righteousness of Christ, if you're not found in him? What will you do with that great weight of guilt of all your words and then of all your thoughts, greater still? text refers to the day of judgment. There is a day of judgment. God is not the affirming, non-judgmental, tolerant God that many people would prefer. He will judge. He will judge. And he'll judge every word, every idle word, every throwaway comment, everything we said thoughtlessly. But still we're responsible for it. We're responsible for our thoughtlessness. It'll all be brought out. And that brings forthly the evidence of speech. The evidence of speech. Verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. When the word justified is used here, it's not talking about the grounds of acceptance, because that's all in Christ. Those who are justified, declared righteous by God, the ground of that is the death and redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. But it is talking about the evidence that we are in Christ. Remember the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. There it's how we deal with Christians, what we do to them. It's the evidence of whether we're really Christians ourselves. It's not that these works merit acceptance with God, but they do show what's there, what's in us, whether we're born again, whether we're trusting Christ. If we trust Christ, we love the brethren. If we don't love the brethren, then we're not Christians. So it is with our words. That our words indicate, and will even be used to indicate, whether we were ever truly converted to Christ at all. There are lessons here. First of all, conversion to Christ must lead to a change in speech. Conversion to Christ must lead to a change in our speech. Now Christians sin, and they sin with their tongues, but every true Christian has in him a desire to be rid of sin, even with his lips. And for that reason, he does not speak willy-nilly. He has a desire for sound speech that cannot be condemned. And if you don't care about your speech, except for any trouble it might get you into, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? If you don't care whether your speech glorifies God, and if you don't acknowledge the sins of the tongue before God, are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, your speech will condemn you. Your speech will condemn you. It will condemn you. Firstly, it will declare the fact that you're not a Christian. And secondly, as it is sinful and your sins are not forgiven, it will form part of the basis of your condemnation. So that God will judge you for all your sinful words. He will demonstrate your unconverted state from your words. And he will use your words as the ground of your condemnation. All your words. And even the indications without words, the nod, the wink, the malicious nudge, he will know. But then if you are a Christian, what does this tell you? Those who are natural talkers, and some people are more natural talkers than others, what's the answer? If you're a natural talker, the answer is not complete silence. But it is prayerful and careful attention to our speech. Because if you're a real Christian, you'll want to glorify God in your speech. Give main attention to the heart. Because if the heart is right, albeit imperfectly, the speech will largely reflect what's in the heart. That's what the text says. And if you're a Christian, if you're born of the Spirit, seek communion with Christ and to walk with Him and fill your heart and mind with His truth and with the knowledge of Him and with the excellency of Christ, and that in itself will restrain the sins of the tongue. And then train the tongue to express what is good in the heart. But to those of you who are not natural talkers, those of you who are naturally reserved, you have a great advantage in avoiding sins of commission in your speech. You have a great advantage in that there is less danger of saying what you ought not to say. For you, the danger is in the other direction, the sin of omission, of not saying what you should say, of refraining your speech even from that which is good. Seek the grace of God, so that reserved as you are, you will make good use of your tongue, so that others will know whose you are and who you serve. But then finally, when we consider this, we are indeed hard of heart if we are not troubled by it. When we read these words, we must be indeed spiritually stupefied, not to be troubled. Our Lord Jesus never sinned with his lips. Not once. This text reminds us, above all else, of how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ, the one of whom it was said, never man spake like this man. Grace was poured into his lips. Our Lord Jesus, no guile was found in his mouth. How much we need him, and to come to God by him, who never sinned, and who on the cross bore the guilt of sin. How we all need to come to God by him and say, God, be